Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7. Text number 45. Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Prajarupena Vartate.
Prajarupena Vartate.
Tasyatmanordam Patyate.
Tasyatmanordam Patyate.
Tasyatmanordham patyaste.
Tasyatmanordham patyaste.
Nanvagad virashakripi.
Nanvagad virashukripi.
Nanvagad virashukripi.
Nanvagad virashukripi.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Prajarupena vartate.
Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Nanvagad virushu kripi.
Nanvagad virushu kripi.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Prajarupena vartate.
Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Nanvagad virushu kripi.
Nanvagad virushu kripi. Saesha Bhagavan Dronaha.
Saesha Bhagavan Dronaha.
Prajarupena vartate.
Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Nanvagad virasu kripi.
Nanvagad virasu kripi.
Saesha Bhagavan Dronaha.
Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham
pratyaste.
Nanvagad
virashu kripi.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Prajarupena vartate.
Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Tasyatmanordham pratyaste.
Ladies. Saesha Bhagavan Drona. Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham
patnyaste. Nanvagad virashu kripi. Saesha Bhagavan Drona.
Prajarupena vartate.
Tasyatmanordham patnyaste.
Nanvagad virashu kripi.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Eshaha.
Eshaha.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Lord.
Lord.
Drona.
Drona.
Dronacharya.
Prajarupena,
Prajarupena,
in the form of his son Ashvatthama,
Vartate,
is existing.
Tasya,
his,
Atmanaha,
of the body,
Ardham,
half,
Putni,
wife,
Aste,
living,
Na,
not,
Anvagat,
undertook.
Virashu, having a son present. Kripi, the son, excuse me, the sister of Kripacharya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He, Dronacharya, is certainly still existing, being represented by his son. his wife Kripi did not undergo a sati with him because she had a son. Purport. The wife of Dronacharya, Kripi, is the sister of Kripacharya, a devoted wife who is, according to revealed scripture, the better half of her husband, is justified in embracing voluntary death along with her husband if she is without issue. But in the case of the wife of Dronacharya, she did not undergo such a trial because she had her son, the representative of her husband. A widow is a widow only in name if there is a son of her husband existing. So in either case, Ashvatthama was the representative of Dronacharya, and therefore killing Ashvatthama would be like killing Dronacharya. That was the argument of Draupadi against the killing of Ashvatthama. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschatate Shatarine
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale
Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinhamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantahanine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralam Vara Sambode Padam Bhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Minodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gora Virbhava Bhomestvam Desasa Jana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Mancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sundubhya Eva Cha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Bhavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nami Gaura Tushe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Bhakta Shakti Kam E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantas Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvastrapadam Bojo Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumada Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasta Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Krishnani Bisevya Manusmarani Srimad Rasada Sarambi Shivata Tatastitaha Prashandenu Swami Gopi Gopinata Sri Eshtunaha
Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Deva Priyai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Sachava Chai Namo Namaha Sri Nishringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vringa Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham Paritranaya Sadhunam Vidachaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Man Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yukvaivam Atmanam Aparayanaha Sarvadharman Parichaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishami Masuchaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Esha Bhagavan Drona Praja Rupena Vartate Tasyatma Nordham Patnyaste Nanvagad Virashu Kripi. He, Dronacharya, is certainly still existing, being represented by his son. His wife, Kripi, did not undergo a sati with him because she had a son. Well, this calls back to a different time in history when there were great meanings to the relationships and of the family, especially. And when the family was a very cohesive unit. In fact, today families have become so divided, and the value of the husband and wife working together for spiritual life and then bringing the family closer for achieving spiritual perfection has become so much forgotten that people are suffering because of it everywhere. A few years back, there was a survey done by one of the big magazines. I forget the name of the magazine, Newsweek or something, around the world about what is the happiest place on earth. Did you hear about that? Yeah, it was a big survey. The happiest place on earth, and they created an index to measure, you know, what makes people actually happy in their life. And it was a pretty extensive survey, and they went all over the world interviewing people from a sample population for every part of the world of people and how they matched up to that index, and then they would rate the countries by how happy people actually were. And so we have Ishapanishads ready. $5 fine when you have to buy an Ishapanishad when your cell phone goes off. I think mine's off. So they went around the world and they found out the happiest places on earth. And the United States came out somewhere around number 46, I think, on the list. And then they had Bangladesh, number one. People are asking, you know, well, how could that be? But you know, we find where there are cultures where the family, you know, is very tight, you know, where people actually live at home together, they break bread together, they're close to their relatives and family and so on and so forth, and there's actually real value in the institution of marriage, that people actually become satisfied and happy because this is a system, a Vedic system, and it is the actual purpose of human life. That everyone should endeavor for spiritual realization, and that everyone has their own psychophysiological nature, and everyone needs to have shelter and protection in a certain way. And so these types of relationships in which everyone's nature was accommodated for, husband and wife, and then the grown-up children, sons were there to protect the mother after the father had departed, either by death or taking sannyas, held society together in a very powerful way, and brought happiness to people. And so much so, you could see how dedicated wives were to their husbands, that they were willing to, or they felt the need to depart if there was no other son there afterwards, either for them to look after or for the son to look after them. If that relationship wasn't there, then they'd simply enter the funeral pyre along with their husband. As with when Pandu died, Gandhari and Kunti actually argued over who should enter the funeral pyre. And Madri and Kunti argued over it, you know, because they both wanted to do that. They didn't want to live without Pandu, but they decided that Kunti should take care of the boys. Somebody had to, because they were just young at the time. So, and the woman is the better half of the relationship, the husband and wife. Does somebody want to make a comment about that? Srivas? What is your realization?
Family that prays together stays together.
Family that prays together stays together, yeah. And how is it that the woman is the better half? Janani Vaz can tell.
Come on, Shiva.
Man gets, at home, at society, man gets respect, but at home, it's like the women which kind of helps the husband, or the wife helps the husband to realize what exactly the husband is. Because the society paints one picture of the man, but when you come home, it's a different picture. And not in a demeaning way, but actually it will actually help to advance the spiritual life, to stay with someone. To get so many aspects, if you're alone rather than staying with someone, so many aspects of your personality which is hidden, which you take granted for, is pretty quickly exposed to you.
Nice, okay. What else? Any other realization about that? There's a woman's nature is taken to be prakriti, and man's nature is taken to be purusha. And actually, it's an artificial designation, but when we're dealing with relationships and the varnashram system and all these types of things, we are dealing with our external relationship based on the modes of material nature, that I think I'm a man, someone else thinks she's a woman, and so on and so forth. And in that, the man, purusha, and so-called enjoyer, and the woman is the enjoyed, or the... And the fact of the matter is, the more advantageous position for spiritual consciousness is to be the enjoyer, to be the enjoyed. And actually, so in this sense, you know, in the Vedic culture, woman has an advantage in the sense, because the natural position, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out in his teaching, for the soul to make advancement in spiritual life is to feel this type of humility and feel like that I'm being enjoyed by Krishna. And the woman naturally in the Vedic culture has that role to play. And because of that, showing that role actually is an example for everybody, how to be in that situation and to be submissive to the husband and so on. So in that sense also, she's the better half. Yes?
In the fourth canto, just there's a... I think it's discussing Prithu Maharaj. There's a purport where Prabhupada says that also among the Varnas, that the Shudras have some advantage in the same way that you're describing that. Mm-hmm. They, that they have to be humble, and that gives them, so that purifies them, so they can go on to be purified later.
Much easier position to be able to stay in the back, stay low, you know, than tend to always push up. Just like sometimes you see devotees who have taken a lead position and maybe have to sit on a big seat and give initiations and so on and so forth. It's very much contrary to the mood of a Vaishnava to do that. But it's necessary in order to... it has to be leaders and followers, you know, to have a group and to be able to help other people advance. And it's a very difficult service, actually, because it's completely contrary to the mood of a Vaishnava who wants to be the one sitting low and to be the one inquiring rather than speaking and so on and so forth and leading. So being able to cultivate that mood of... being the humble follower is an advantageous position to be in. However, we do have to take our duties, and this is also considered to be higher service, that, you know, at some point we also have to, for the sake of doing our service, we may have to pick some type of occupation or type of role that we're not really compatible with or we don't feel completely comfortable with. But we do it for the sake of advancing the cause. Yes?
In some religions or in some cultures or maybe even in some parts of Vedic culture, we describe the husband and wife are like one body and that they become a unit. But also we talk about how we're really not this body and we're the soul and that, you know, our family relations are just like a, you know, coming together of flotsam in a river or something like that, and in their next life we may not be related to these same people at all. So there seems like some tension between those two ideas. I mean, the one sense of just being that I'm a spirit soul, and that you know, my family relations are part of my our bodily relations, and the other sense of you know, a husband and wife really becoming like united, like we see in the Bhagavatam, that when Dhruva Maharaj was flying back to Vaikuntha, his mother was flying ahead of him. Or, you know, like there's a sense in which people go together. Or I'm trying to think of some other, maybe it was Prithu Maharaj and Archie was coming with him after she entered the fire, you know. So there seems to be a tension there, and what's the synthesis or the
rhythm. In Queen Kunti's prayers, she is praying to Krishna that please break my tie of affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. That she's saying dridam panishu vrishnishu, that dridam means, you know, I want to sever my tie of affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis and have my attention drawn only to you, Krishna. And in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he explains that although, you know, these are families of devotees, there is this dichotomy, there is a way in which there can be attachment to the family and to that feeling of, you know, this is my family, but at the same time, it's good to be attached to devotees. So slight dichotomy there, and she's asking not to be detached from the association of devotees, but to be detached from the false bodily conception that's there. Tasmat karmani kurvita nan nirvidyeta yavata mat kata shravanadova shada yavana jayate. Krishna told Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita that until one has come to the perfection of hearing and chanting and has become completely absorbed in that and has complete momentum and attraction for the process of hearing and chanting, then one should continue performing one's duties dutifully in the Varnashram system and not try to artificially change one's position. Tasmat karmani kurvita narnirvidyeta yavata. Until that time that one comes to a perfected stage. So there's a way in which Krishna reveals our what our duty is as we perform our devotional service according to our capacity and gives us the next step. And we can't artificially try to break out of any kind of relationships that we're in now other than increasing our attachment to devotional service. That is our bona fide legal relationships. Other types of relationships we should try to curb, but those that come naturally along with this body, we can't artificially try to break free from those. And as we continue in the process of devotional service, hearing and chanting and making advancement, Krishna will open the door for us and allow us to see what is the proper duty and proper ways to conduct our lives and to move ahead in devotional service. So I guess the synthesis is that, you know, we have a certain situation and circumstance in this life related to the body, and we should go on performing our devotional service and also performing our duty in that circumstance until Krishna gives us the availability for a new circumstance. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this as well in his writings, that, you know, everyone has two duties. One duty has to do with the duties that come along with this body and our relationships. And the other duty is to go back to Godhead and to become free from all those. But there's a balance between the two. And while we're in this world, we must balance those things. And you see that when Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami left home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did a lot of paperwork before they left. They didn't just leave in the middle of the night and leave a bunch of loose ends, but they took a year actually to shore up their trusts and wills, and all. They had a lot of money, and 25% of that went to family members and so on, and then 50% of it was distributed to spread Krishna consciousness. The 25% they used as a get-out-of-jail-free card and for emergencies. And they took some time to arrange those types of things. Srila Prabhupada himself made sure that his family had some kind of a stipend taken care of after he took sannyas. And so I don't know if this answers your question exactly, but there's some kind of a balance where we shouldn't try to artificially jump out of whatever positions we're in now and whatever relationships are. But Krishna will reveal those relationships. And sometimes it turns out that a mother, a father, a child in the family turns out to be a great devotee. And somehow or other, there's some kind of eternal connection there as well. Advaitacharya had many sons, and of his sons, one son, Achyutananda, I believe it was turned out to be a very great devotee and followed in the footsteps of his father and understood the conclusion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The other sons deviated from his teachings, and they were considered to be useless, ultimately, and cut off from Advaitacharya. So there are many ways that we may have ties with, you know, some of our relatives spiritually, and there are other ways in which we may gradually break away from those and not be related. But ultimately, it's up to Krishna, and as we continue in devotional service and make advancement, then he'll reveal those types of things.
I was hearing that there's a new memory tape out from Memories of Srila Prabhupada by Bhakti Siddhanta Das. And there's some Australian devotee, and he was kind of a heavy-set, chunky-looking guy, and I forget his name, but his father was a demon and was actually even paying people to go out and disrupt the Sankirtan parties and rough up the devotees. And And so he told this story about how Prabhupada was actually staying at his place, and the father called up. The father was going through his mind, you know, that what he's using, the furniture I gave, and all this stuff. So Prabhupada called up and said, the father called up and said, I'm going to go down there. While Prabhupada was there, I'm going to go down there and make some trouble. And, you know, so the son said, well, you better bring an ambulance with you because, you know, you're going to need it, you know, to take you out of here. So then he went to Prabhupada to get some instruction. Well, you know, my father said he's coming down, what should I do? And he said he was hoping that Prabhupada would, you know, he explained to Prabhupada, this guy, you know, breaks up the Sankirtan party, and he was hoping that Prabhupada would give him some approval that you can go fight with your father or something. And Prabhupada said, no, in this life and in the next life, your duty is to deliver your father from hell. And you have to do this, you know, you have to do the funeral rites and you have to offer pinda and all, you know, so he gave him very strong instruction that your duty is not, you can't fight with your father, your duty is to somehow or another, you know, make peace. And so the devotee took that very seriously, this life and the next life.
Prahlad Maharaj, even after his father had tried to kill him, when Nrisingadeva asked him for some benediction, he didn't want anything, and Nrisingadeva insisted. And finally, he said, then please save my father. You know, he's such a demon. Lord Nrisingadeva said, he's already saved. You know, your whole family and many generations are saved. And what you're saying, too, after my father passed away in November, I felt more of a spiritual connection with him afterwards. You know, I really didn't think about it so much except for, you know, how is he engaged in this life, when he was alive. I got him to chant and so on and so forth before he passed away, and he did a lot of service. But that's the realm I thought of it. But after he left, you know, and I really started thinking, where did this soul go? And what is my connection to him? And the instruction was there. The Vedic instruction was I should have a picture of him. I should offer a feast to him 3 days after he left. And I did that when I was in Vrindavan. I arranged a big feast, and you know, I had a picture of my father. We offered it to Giriraj and Shalagram, and then we offered to a picture of my father, and we had a big kirtan. And I was thinking about this pinda and so on. And Keshav Bharati Maharaj was saying how he arranges for these pinda offerings to his mother several times a year at Radhakund and so forth. And there is, now in my mind, you know, I have a picture of my father that I keep at Gorni Thai's lotus feet on my desk, you know, and I think of him more like what the spiritual tie goes on. There is some inexplicable connection, even though it is like bubbles in the ocean and then we break apart. There is a way in which, and it's described in all the Vedic literatures, in fact, the son is called the Putra because he saves the father from Put. Put means hell, and tra means to deliver. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, in Vedic culture that someone would be glad to get a son is because the son would then learn all the Vedic rituals and perform the sacrifice for the father after he departs and save him from whatever, you know, situation he's in his next life. So there is some connection. And it's really hard to exactly sort out exactly how all that works, except that you know, it gets revealed more and more as we go further. And ultimately, Vaishnavs, you know, should feel connections to all kinds of souls as well. I mean, Krishna describes how the person who becomes advanced in spiritual life really sees all living entities as connected to Krishna and really feels compassion that they need to be saved. Something needs to be done here, that there's no alternative for this way for man. Kurvan eviha karmani jajiva shakshatam samaha evam twai nanyate tosti nakarma lipyate nare. That if one performs activities that are in devotional service, then this separates one from this continuation of karma in the material world. And there's no alternative to this way for man. Next verse, Asurya nama te loka antena tamasavrita tamste pratyabhigacchanti yeki chatma hanojana. Someone doesn't follow that, then they fall down into hell and they become the killer of their own selves. So we should feel compassion, a connection to all souls, even though, you know, we may have no relationship to people who are going to meet today. We do have a relationship. They're all spirit souls, and we should also feel that. That's the essence of the Sankirtan spirit, to really feel a connection with every living entity and feel how, you know, this is important. This very second that I'm knocking on this door, this is a momentous occasion, that this person's karma will change as soon as they open the door, or in this case, not even open the door, because we're going to hang something on the door. We'll get them coming and going. That, you know, this is the most important thing that ever happened to this soul in millions and millions of lifetimes. And we feel that connection there, you know, with every and then when we bring devotees in and devotees come of their own volition to the temple, we should feel connection also. And we should really care about what happens. I know that from my experience here, especially when I feel, you know, my relationship with the devotees at this temple, I become so attached actually to a fault where I worry about devotees and I think about devotees, how's this devotee doing, how's that devotee, and I start thinking about it so much I have to cultivate a little attachment, or it makes me actually ill almost, that it becomes so attached. And you know, we should feel like that with our devotional family, but we should also connect out like that to the other people that whom we meet when we're on Sankirtan. And what to speak of our family members, their souls also. So that dichotomy is there, that we're trying to get away from them at one period of our life, but at the other side, we want to, you know, we have an eternal connection with them because they're all parts and parcels of Krishna. So it's a little complicated, but everything gets worked out when we water the root and serve Krishna. Then everyone becomes satisfied somehow or other. And Krishna makes all kinds of amazing arrangements. And how is it that, you know, the son and the mother go back to Godhead together or something like that, or something else happens? They say, well, how can that happen? Anything can happen. Anything can happen. When you get in the spiritual realm, it means there's no more measuring. One of the definitions of Maya is to measure. As an intelligence always like, wait a minute, that doesn't measure up to my experience. How does that connect? You know, it's like, I can't see it. Where is it? You know, show me in your electron microscope where it is. Prove it to me. You know, measure everything. But these, you know, spiritual relationships and emotions and the way that it all comes together in the spiritual world is unmeasurable in every aspect, including how we relate. And it's like, wait a minute, how'd they get there? You know, Krishna can perform any miracles. It's like Rajagopal was saying, he can take anybody back to Godhead also. I heard Guru Kripa was telling me that he has some relationship with Puri Maharaj, and he was saying one time that he was saying, sometimes I don't agree with it. You know, he said, Krishna's taking some of these people back to Godhead. They didn't look very qualified to me. But he was sort of saying how it's amazing that, you know, some people are being taken back to Godhead. It's like, wait a minute, he wasn't qualified. He didn't do anything, you know, practically speaking. But Krishna can do that. He's completely independent, and it's based on his own sweet will, how he can do that. And Sankirtan's his own sweet will also. So let's take just a couple minutes to talk about the door-to-door today and the practicality of how to knock on a door. Nice and firm, ring the doorbell, and then, you know, as you stand there and wait, you have your books, you have your invitations, you have your prasadam, and then there's a moment when you hear somebody rustling inside and you think, who's going to open the door? You have no idea. Because it's like, what's behind door number one, door number two? We used to have a game show when I was a kid, Let's Make a Deal, and, you know, they'd hide things behind the curtain, and then the people would have to say, pick door number one, door number two, and they wouldn't know what's behind the door or behind the curtain until they open it. And sometimes they'd win a car, and sometimes they'd, you know, win a can of beans or something like that, and they'd go home all disappointed. So we don't know when we knock on the door what's behind door number one, or door number two. So your adrenaline's going, you knock and you wait, and you pray to Krishna. And that's how you do door to door. Just go knock, 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 and then take deep breath, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. They open the door and you go, what do you want? Well, what I want is, do you live here? Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you, and I just happen to be here today, and here, have a look at this. Take a look. there's no stereotyped way to distribute door to door, except that there's some tips we have here from our door to door acharyas in Maryland, and they talk about a few things. They love going door to door. Lokajaksha and Vidarbha Sutta, and they have a son Nimai who's about 6 years old now, and I've gone door to door with them quite a few times in Maryland, and they love it. They go out as a family. In fact, a lot of times when they're on their way home from work, they stop for 15 minutes and they go door to door in a new neighborhood and go around like that. And some of the advantages are that it's a captive audience. You know, unlike people walking on the street, they can decide to stop or not stop, and they can also, you know, be at a stoplight and then decide because it changed to green, it's time to go, and all kinds of things. And but when they're in their doorway, there's a funny feeling how people feel more comfortable there when they're in their doorway and they're in their house. It's a more relaxed atmosphere. 99.9% of the time, from what I've found, people don't mind you knocking on their door. And if they're willing to open the door, then they're happy to see you, because frankly, life's pretty boring in the material world. And if someone comes to the door, especially with something different, that looks different, you know, they're like, wait a minute, what is that? You know, maybe this is something good for a change. Then it's kind of exciting for people. And there's a lot of opportunity for making relationships with people when you go door to door. Because when you find really interested people, you know where they live, they know where they live, and it's so on and so forth, and you can develop relationships. So it's good to have a bag when you go door to door, a shoulder bag, so you can carry a few books with you. And make sure to take a mix of books, like have some Spanish books as well, because you don't know. You know, open some doors and you might meet a Spanish-speaking person. You don't want to have to run all the way back to your car. They take with them Higher Taste, Chant and Be Happy, Perfection of Yogas, Beyond Birth and Death, Science of Self-Realization, Light of the Bhagavad Gita. And they take several, according to the neighborhood, different languages of Bhagavad Gita, which we now have also. Milan Doshi found Spanish. And what else do we have here?
Hindi.
Hindi, Bhagavad Gita, and
Gujarati,
and is that it?
French and Arabic.
French, Arabic, all these recorded. So, and we got permissions also to for ISV Media to go ahead and just burn out as many of these as we want. So this is a godsend, thanks to Milan Doshi. Haribo. We'll be able to have these in different languages. It's easier to carry than a large book, too. And then flyers. Make sure to have a flyer, because it's nice to have the flyer to be able to give them if they don't take a book, and it's a way that you can introduce the book too when you come to the doors. Hand them a flyer and give them an invitation. Some devotees I know go door to door. It's like they're a representative of their temple. They say, "Yeah, hi, we're from our local temple, or we're from a local yoga group, and we have a class on yoga every Wednesday night that we're offering for free to people this month. And so we came by to tell you about it. And you've heard of yoga, right? And you can hand them a flyer. And if they show a little bit of interest and say, oh, yeah, I've heard of this. It sounds good. Thank you. And here, have a look at this too. And you can show them the book and say, this is one of the books we use. And go through the book a little bit. And, of course, we're not selling these books. People just leave donations to help our work, because we do it. It's all nonprofit. And we do this to help people all over the world. The site selection is very important for door-to-door. Apartments are better than homes. Homes take a long time to get from one to the next, and they're like little fortresses oftentimes. You know, people go in their house, and it's usually a little harder to get to the houses, takes a lot more time, and then people are a little more fortress than their house. But apartments, especially non-security apartments, where you can just walk up and go from one door to the next really quickly, they're really easy because you're right there and you can just keep moving from one door to the next and you don't break your momentum. And also, I found that the upscale apartments, or upscale anything, is not very good. It's not as good as like middle class. Not too low, where you get bit by a pit bull or something, and not too high where they're, you know, they'll look down their nose at you and say, what are you doing in my neighborhood? But right in the middle somewhere, middle neighborhoods, where there's students is always good. Being near a university or a college or a community college, something like that, where students might be housed, that's always good. You know, a good site selection for that. Shop to shop is fine. You know, you can all, some devotees like Trados have distributed books for 35, 37 years going shop to shop. And you can go in and, you know, sometimes the people are standing there doing nothing. And you can just talk to the people who are who run the store or are working at the store. Avoid the places where it takes a key to enter the place. You buzz it in. You can get into those places, but generally it creates a little more tension, you know, sneaking into these security apartments. And then, you know, the gate and the lock is there for a reason. They're trying to keep people out. But there are plenty, and I just saw driving down the road here on our way here, just down the road here, there's tons of perfect apartments. They're middle of the road, no security, and I got first shot at them. Distribution partner. Pick one or two people who like to distribute books or at least who like to go out with you. Best is one's spouse or someone who can get together quickly and easily. Don't try to organize a big party of devotees to go out with. It may take too much time and effort to organize. Well, that's not relevant to us exactly, except for the part about go with a partner. Especially women should definitely have somebody with them when they go door to door. And it's much better if you go with a family. It's nice as couples to go. And if you have a child, can go also. The three of you can go together, something like that. And if you're going with a partner, you can work close to each other as well and make sure that you're within earshot. You can see the other person. Like, you start there, I'll start here, we'll meet in the middle, that kind of stuff. And you can hear the other person distributing right down the hallway, or you can see them if you're going to split up. But going in pairs is nice also to the door. Nothing wrong with that. He just has common sense things here about fixing your schedule, how long to do it, keep a modest goal. But, you know, today we're going to have a thing where we say at least an hour on the door-to-door. So everyone can have a good taste. So you really get in there and say, for an hour I'm going to try, no matter what happens, you know, for at least an hour and see what happens. Okay, how to approach. Here in their own words. Pray hard to your Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, and the Panchatattva. This is prerequisite for any Sankirtan. You got to pray. Beg for their mercy on the souls you're about to approach. Beg for mercy for yourself to stay in the right consciousness of being a humble instrument in their hands. It's best to approach a house in a group of ideally two or maximum three. Approach the door and ring the doorbell if there is one. If there's not one, then knock firmly on the door two or three times, then wait for a minute. While you wait, stand right in front of the people with your partner so that the person inside can see you clearly. Smile while you wait. If there's no response, then knock firmly again after waiting for a minute. Sometimes if there is a TV playing loud, you may have to knock hard. Okay, so give us a demonstration, George. You can stand up here. Yeah. And then just face us, you know, knock like we're looking out the peephole at you. And you can face us like... There you go. See how easy? Knocks a few times. He's just waiting there with a nice smile. Let's see what else we have. You can stay there for a second. What to say when they open the door? Sometimes people will yell from the inside, "Who is it?" This is a very common response you'll get to your knocking. Your answer should be something short and generic. Were monks giving out books on yoga and meditation in the neighborhood? Or were monks increasing awareness about the benefits of yoga and passing out some books? Come up with something short and sweet, honest and direct. Sometimes they can relate to it in a second. Something they can relate to in a second. Many times people shout back, "No thank you," from inside. Just thank them and move on. This is the worst response you'll get from people. That's as bad as it gets. People just say no thank you and you move on. When I knock and people say, "Who is it?" I say, "It's Krishna." And then they go, "It's Krishna." Come right here. It's quicker and it's a little enigmatic. So, "It's Krishna?" It's like, Where? So right here. So there are different things that you can say, or sometimes I say, it's me, Vaish. When they say, who is it? I say, it's me, Vaish. And they go, you know, you say it sort of in a familiar tone. Or you can use what they say here. But let's knock and... It's okay, somebody ask him.
It's me, George.
Okay, good. Nice. And try one of the other ones too. Knock again, and who is it?
Who is it?
It's Krishna.
See how fun this door-to-door is? It's just a riot. What is that, Trivas?
Actually, sometimes we drop.
Oh, Lord!
We had one, when I went out with a group of devotees, and they all wanted to see how to do door-to-door. So I took out this group of devotees, and I had four women in saris watching me and one brahmachari, a young brahmachari. And they were all standing there with me. And we knocked on the door, and I was waiting for a while, and this guy comes out. It was in the afternoon, and he had like a, you know, one of those, you know, T-shirts and his sleeping clothes on, basically, pajamas. It was in the afternoon. I guess he works nights or something. He had a crease across his face from sleeping on the pillow. And his hair's all messed up, you know. And he comes up. And what did I say when he opened the door? I said, oh, did we wake you up? And he goes, yeah, we did. And he goes, I'm really sorry. But anyway, here, take a look at this. And it was amazing because he started to warm up as we went on. And there he is standing in his pajamas with a crease across his face. And I just preached the Bhagavad Gita to him, and I just told him, you know, here's we start off here, we end up here, we're just passing through, showing the change of bodies in the picture. Just show him a few pictures. And then I said, so we just asked donations. He stumbled off, came back with $20, and the devotees were handing him cookies and everything like that. And there he was, coming from 0 to 60 in about 10 seconds. From sleeping in the darkest of ignorance to getting Bhagavad Gita, and you could see he was happy. The mode of ignorance had dissipated. So anything can happen, you know. It was like a bear coming out of his cave. And, you just have to keep going with it, you know, and just present and see what happens. You never know. I in another group, it was this, I don't know where they were from, like the wet, there was a black family, but they were from a different country. And there were a bunch of girls. And they were very enthusiastic and energetic when I knocked on the door. And I was in a dhoti. And they came to the door, and they were all crowding around to see what it was. And the mother got up from the television and I was showing her. And they're all going, I want one, I want one, I want one. You know? Everyone's like, okay, here. There was like four or five of them, and they had friends in there and everything like that, you know? And she actually gave a nice donation to the mother, and all the kids were like, no, no, I want this one, I want that one. They were trading back and forth with the different books. And then I said, okay, now I'm going to teach everybody the mantra. So I taught them the Ma mantra, and all of them were chanting it. They were really into it. They went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I leave, right? And the rest of the time we were there at that apartment building, you could hear them up there chanting. They were like playing around. They were on the balcony. They were yelling down, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You know, it was really funny. So you don't know who's going to be there and what an effect it's going to have. And the books end up right in the house and the mantra and the whole thing. Okay, so many times they shout, no thank you, and then just go away. What to say when they open the door? Basic principles. Explain what benefit something they can relate to. That is, like an example, a reduction of stress, anxiety, happiness, peace they will get from the books. You know, start off, these are books, show you how to become peaceful, become free from anxiety. A compliment. Pass some compliments about them. Their experience, their appearance, their hair, their clothes, their house, their child. Don't preach to them. Just keep the conversation very light and focused on them, what they do, their jobs, their lives, etc. Use examples that they can relate to. Modern life stresses, taking care of the cage but neglect of the bird inside. These books showed how to feed the bird or the spirit. In mature consciousness, we are like fish out of water. Nothing brings true enjoyment but in the material realm. So sticking with a really simple analogy at every place that you go, like just telling about the bird and the cage and how the body's like the cage, the soul's like the bird. And nowadays, people just polish the cage and we end up with a nice looking cage and a hungry bird, right? And this just shows how to feed the bird, how to be happy from within. Stick to this theme. Happiness comes from within. These books show you how to become happy. It's something everyone can relate to. Smile. Have a big smile and positive body language. Okay, so, and think. Always thank them by looking them in the eye, no matter whether they took the book or not. Don't be under pressure to sell them a book or many books to get a big score in your mind. This will distort your body language. Be detached and relaxed. This greatly helps. Don't be in a fruitive mood. Preach and Lakshmi will come. Look below on how much to ask for a book. Don't haggle if they give you less than you'd like. Be satisfied with what they give. Someone else inevitably gives more than you ask and makes up for any underpayments. Isn't that true? Keep your goal firmly in front of you. Leave them with a good impression, each person. So that's the goal at every door, is to make them feel like when their spouse comes home, that you want them to say, I met some really nice people today. I had a great, some nice experience at the door today. Say with a big smile and positive body language, hi, we're yoga monks giving out books to increase awareness about yoga and meditation. These books talk about how to get rid of stress and anxiety. You've heard about stress, haven't you? Their reply, yeah, or I've never heard of it. You say, you don't look stressed out. You look peaceful and happy. Anyway, these are some lines that they use. And you can say something nice complimenting their profession. To a professional student, you look very intelligent. To a housewife, you look caring and organized. Then switch back to telling about how the book will help them. Okay, present us a book, George. Somebody answer the door for him. Janani Vas will do it. Here, you got to get a book with you, too.
Okay. Hi, I'm a monk from a local Hare Krishna temple. We're here today to distribute books for the benefit of the whole world. I would like to show you this Bhagavad Gita. Have you seen this book before?
No, I haven't.
This book, let me show you the pictures. It's a nice picture about reincarnation. It shows us how we start here and we end up here. And we're just passing through. The book is written in the ancient Sanskrit language, and the author has unlocked all the secrets. It's a very unique copy of this book, because you can see here it has the transliteration, word for word, the translation of perfect. And it's used by all the major universities, like Georgetown, USC. You've heard of Georgetown, USC. And also, if you look here, you can see it's recommended by some of the greatest thinkers and authorities of our time. Emerson, Thoreau, also Gandhi, Einstein also read this book.
So are you selling these books?
I'm showing these books to you. I can't sell them because they're sacred, but we do ask for a donation in order for us to keep going, keep the message going, so we can help more benefit for the entire world. Would you like to take one?
How's $20
now? Yay! Good job. Excellent. Nice. Just be friendly and talk to people, and normally, as far as presenting the philosophy in the book goes, just read how interested they are as you go forward. If they're a little interested, tell a little bit more. If they seem like they're distracted or they're in a big hurry, ask them more questions. Like, have you heard of, you believe in God, right? And go to the real simple things. Like, this book teaches happiness comes within. You know what I mean? Happiness comes within our own heart, because God's in everyone's heart. And you can keep it very, very simple with people. And then once you find where they have an interest, if people are agreeing, say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I agree with where you come from. Then tell them more. So probe, by asking questions, being friendly. And when they show interest, then go with it. And if they don't show much interest, then keep it even shorter. Short is good. And always cut to the chase. When people want to know, like, are you selling it, whatever you're doing, then immediately tell them what the program is. Don't beat around the bush or anything. Say, yeah, we're doing this to spread love for God. We take donations for the books. And just tell them what's going on. Just be very, very straightforward.
How do you deal if you say you believe in God, right, and they say, no, I don't believe in God. I think religion is the cause of all the world's problems and, those kind of things. How do you deal with that?
Perfect. That's just what this book goes into. how to deal with this situation. You know, like just go with it. Whatever they say, then say, yeah, that's perfect. That's just what this book does for you. Just like there was a devotee in Australia. He was going door to door. It was New Zealand, and the guy opened the door, and he looked pretty moted out. And so the devotee showed the book and said, you know, you believe in God? And he said, no, as a matter of fact, I am the head of the Satanist group here in this area. There are actually people who are practicing Satanists, you know. And so, you know, we're atheists, and in fact, we're against God. And he said, well, you should definitely take this book then, because don't you want to know your competition? And the guy said, well, yeah, I guess you're right. And he bought the book. Vijay wrote about that one. And so, you know, if someone gives a, you know, it's like I'm an atheist, and say, yeah, I know what you mean. I go with them and say, yeah, I can appreciate that. I know what you mean. That's why I think you'll really like this. Like whatever they say, like, well, I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm conditioned in this way. Basically what they're saying is, I'm conditioned to think in this way. I said, yeah, I know what you mean. I can relate to that kind of conditioning. And this book discusses all these things, you know. They're like, I'm a Muslim. You know, it's like, oh, okay, here, let me give you the Muslim book. Sometimes it helps to give them a different book, you know. Or they'll say, you'll hand them one book, and they'll reject it and say, no, I'm a Muslim. Okay, take it back. Don't try to keep pushing it on. You know, as soon as they say, I'm a something, I'm conditioned in such and such a way, therefore I can't take it. Here, have a look.
I'm a television fanatic.
Oh, okay. Well, here, let me give you this one then, and you can give them a different book. You know, if someone has an adamant objection based on their conditioning, you know, it's like, oh no, they see it and they go, no, I'm a Muslim. Oh, not like this. Not no. Take it. No. Then immediately you create even more resistance. But when they give it back, they say, oh, reject it and give it back then. Because
I don't read. I don't like to read.
Oh, perfect. Then here, you know.
Oh.
Whatever it is, there's some alternative in another form. You know, there's a little variety.
It's in Spanish.
It has good music.
Yeah, but there's a way in which you, even when people unconsciously, you know, hand them the book and they start handing it back again while I'm talking to them, because they don't even make an express. They don't make an expression that I'm not interested. They just start handing it back. As they're handing it back, I hand them the next one, a different one. And you can keep doing that over and over again with different books, and because they didn't reject the next book you're going to give them, they rejected this one. So in their mind, it's okay to keep doing that. And then you never know when it'll spark, when they'll actually say, okay, that's okay. Good job, George. That was good. And Janani Vas, thank you very much. $20, first donation of the day. Anybody have any questions about asking for donations? How to ask for donations? Why to ask for donations? Yes.
These packs that they are making.
Yes.
When do we give it?
Okay, so these packs are door hangers that we ordered, and we'll have a demonstration of the door hanger. Let's see. Let's hang one on the door here and see how it works. Try it out. Try it out, Melanie. If somebody's not home, you knock on the door and no home? There you go. When they get home, that's okay. You don't have to get it all the way on there, but there. And you can pull them a little bit as you're walking along. You can pull them a little apart to stretch them for the larger doors like that. Then that's what they get, Lord Vishnu waiting for them when they get home. So no door, every door that we approach, if we come to a series like three not home, one home, three doorknob hangers, and the one that is home, then you can make the presentation to them and talk to them that, you know, here's the book.
So we're putting a book on everyone's door if they're not home?
Up to you. It's your discretion. We have how many bagged up? 500 books? More than 500 books bagged up. So this is to guarantee that we spread around a lot of mercy today. And also, it'll keep everyone encouraged and engaged while we're going door to door. Okay, any other questions? Okay, a couple things, what not to do in door to door. Don't present books to children or minors. Children or minor comes to the door, ask if their parents are home. Ask if, you know, something like that. But don't get in a thing with children or minors. If their parents aren't home, just hand them a free packet of books and then go. Don't ask them for donations and stuff. Don't deal with them. Don't stay in one place too long. If a family, mostly any family, invites you inside, then don't spend excessive time inside as you're losing valuable time to distribute books at other houses. Try to keep your stay under 10 minutes because some people will invite you in and want to, you know, feed you and all kinds of stuff. When I went in Italy door to door, it's ridiculous. You know, people are like, oh, come on in, you know. You go in, they have pasta ready for you and all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, you have to be a little careful. Don't knock on the same door twice. Be careful if a person's rejected your offers. Keep track of the apartments where you go. And it's good to keep a list today because we'll do this more and more. The areas you went and the areas we've already covered. And don't haggle over money. Things you should do, be consistent. Set some attainable goals with your partner and stick with them. Keep records for each apartment and building that you visit. Note down the name of the apartment, the complex, the building number, and the street address. This is available outside. Then for each apartment you approach, note down the response, which can be three. Took book, no answer, or rejected, not interested. And when you meet an interested party, write down their name, phone, email, if you can get them from them. Also note their interest level, 1 to 10, on being a potential devotee or being barely interested. And anything about their background that you find out. This information is helpful when you follow up with them later. And write down what books they took. Report your scores, keep meticulous count of Lakshmi, follow up. What to carry, books, book bag, prasadam flyers, personal greeting cards, response sheet, and book score sheet and a pen. Okay. Any last questions or inspirations about going door to door today? Does everyone know where they're going? I'm going right over here. I want to try that street up and down here. Is that okay, Jananivas?
There's also, if you go up to...
on Manda?
No, this next light up here.
Okay.
It's really close.
Nice. Thank you. All right. Venkatesh, you were going to say?
No, I said.
Oh, you're going to Stokes. Okay.
What about university dorm areas? Is that okay to go to dorm?
Well, generally speaking, dorm areas, there's usually a no soliciting kind of thing. And you can try it. You know, like San Francisco State, that area, around where Acharya lives. You give it a shot and see how it goes. Generally, they might just ask you to leave, but they may not too. And then it's, you know, it's just a matter of you have to be sensitive not to stay in one place too long, and you know. But any student area is good. Okay.
Can we get more books today? Is over at
books. The Namahata is open over at Rakshit's house. So as many books as you need, you can stop over at Sonal, and the kids are there, ready to take your orders. They're practically getting it down to as a drive-through pretty soon. Thinking about making a road that goes through their backyard so you can drive through. And there'll be a little, you know, yeah, there'll be a little place your order thing. And you come up, push the button in the menu, and you say, I would like, you know.
I updated books which are there in the store. Okay, I would like to have 50%.
And if you have a digital camera, please bring it with you and take pictures at your door-to-door. Take pictures of whoever partner you're working with going door-to-door, and any other action shots that you can get will be valuable. Okay, anything else? All right, then we'll just go straight for prasadam, and then everyone will be, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll be ready to go to our spots. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Sankirtan Festival ki jai, Lord Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Lord Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki jai, Gopri Manandi Hari Hari Bol.